Good evening, and you're very welcome to the LOI Women's Podcast here on finalwhistle.ie. Myself, Breffney Early, and of course, Aaron Clark of the WNL Show joins me once again this week. Aaron, it's been an interesting start to the season. Some big games, some big shocks, I suppose, in some respects. Some games that maybe I left that humble pie somewhere. I know you like a good serving of it early in the season. I think Leah Kelly's probably going to give you a little bit more of that in a couple of weeks. Predicted a 4-0 win for Carrolls. That didn't materialise. Sligo Rovers scoreless draw with them. Probably the biggest result of the weekend. But it's going to be an entertaining show. We've got Leah Kelly, of course, Sligo Rovers, out injured at the moment, but they had a really, really good result at the weekend to kickstart their season, the first game under Tommy Hewitt. They'll be absolutely thrilled with that. We'll also be chatting about all things across the various division in terms of the underage leagues, but also at senior level, some other big games there as well, DLR. With a draw against Shamrock Rovers. We might talk about their social media later in the program as well. Some interesting tweets coming out from them over the course of the weekend. The Avenir Sports, it's not the Avenir Sports Cup anymore, by all accounts. It's the All-Ireland Cup. That will be on the list today to talk about as well. The fixtures, of course, confirmed for that. That starts in just over 10 days' time. So plenty of football to be talked about in that respect. Your highlight of the weekend, I know you were in Talca Park.
Yeah, probably was that. Probably Amber Hardy's performance for me is probably the highlight of the weekend. I was delighted to see the FAI decided on the LOI Women's social account to actually put a video out of her performance and some of the saves she made, because I thought she was very, very good. I'd say that was it. In terms of the others, DLR obviously getting a point is another big one that probably didn't surprise. The good thing about the highlight of the weekend is probably Tommy Ewan not coming and killing me for predicting the 4-0 last minute. I've done it a couple of times against teams that he's managed, and he's sort of served me with a bit of humble pie, and didn't happen on Saturday. But listen, we'll talk to Lee about it and we'll get in more depth into it. Like, Shell's had a lot of chances, but the way Sligo defended and the way Sligo sort of set themselves out, like, it was right time, right place, and you know, it was a really interesting watch to see the first glimpses of what Tommy could do with that Sligo Rovers team, and you know, it builds nicely, an interesting opening weekend of the season for sure.
Absolutely, of course, not involved herself at the weekend, but she is probably the leading appearances for the team over the last two seasons in the league. We might as well bring her into the conversation now. Leah Kelly, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. I suppose we bumped into each other randomly, coming and going in our busy lives, and you very kindly came on the show, or agreed to come on the show, and it's great to have you. But I suppose going to Dublin last Saturday morning, was that the hope, the expectation that you'd be coming back with a point from the 2022 league champions?
Yeah, I suppose we weren't going to be coming across like real confident to outside this, but I think as a group we knew that we were well capable of getting something from the game. I think the girls were serious out there. I think like everyone would know, an issue has been for us over the last 2 years, and that we had spells of in games where, you know, we were able to keep up, and then once we let in one goal sometimes it kind of led on. Whereas I think the girls really dealt with like the pressure that Shell's put on, particularly early on in the second half, and obviously, Amber was brilliant in goals as well, which really helped.
Breffney, 5-1 on Saturday. I'm standing outside the tunnel in Talca Park, and I'm looking around thinking, what's going on? Sligo Rovers have 7 players here. Team bus hasn't arrived at this stage. You're thinking everything that could probably go wrong for Sligo at the start of the day was going wrong. And you wouldn't have thought it, the way they got off the bus, they went about their things. And it was one of them sort of occasions that you watch on and you're sort of thinking, the longer the game goes, okay, Sligo, we're gonna get something out of it. Did you have any fear though, Leah? Because I'm gonna bring you back to the game in Dublin last season, the one on the Wednesday night where they nicked the late goal to rob a 1-0 win against you. When you're watching up on the sideline, what's that like? You know, your team are battling for their life.
I know another thing that was in our heads was obviously last year against Shams, it was in the 90 something minute as well, that we could have obviously got a draw against them, which would have been huge. So that kind of was in the back of my head, like, are we gonna lose it there? And that'll be similar to that. But yeah, it was interesting that like we did get delayed on the way up with traffic, but I suppose Tommy was so good, like he didn't have us panicking when we arrived. He's very chilled in that regard. He didn't have anyone like feeling stressed and rushed going out. So that was good. The girls kind of still got their good warm-up done and were prepared for it.
That's the official line. They actually warmed up at Home Farm up the road. They're just trying to look.
We won't give away all our secrets.
Leah, let's talk about Amber Hardy. She's coming to the squad towards the end of last year. Had a bit of a spell in Athlone previously, but has really been the talk. Probably the last two rounds of last year's season, she was very impressive. And she's really started this year. She finished last. She's a find for you.
Absolutely, yeah. The thing about Amber is, I think, because she's so mature at training and things like that, you often forget that she's just 17, because she's a real mature disposition about her, and she's just like, she's a serious keeper. She has everything, she's strong, she's so confident. Like, even in so many people have said about that interview she did with you, Aaron, the way she spoke was just like way beyond her years, like it. So she's a great girl.
I was literally about to say that, like, when obviously she's so young, she made her debut actually against Shells in that game in Talk earlier last season. But like, when you look at it and you start speaking to her, you think, so it's so composed, so, and she speaks as if she knows that she has this opportunity to take. Is it from a Sligo Rovers viewpoint? You know, when you see people looking in from the outside, you see people sort of talking the way the last year or two has gone. Is it that you feel you maybe all have a point to prove this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's massive. Like, the competition right now is crazy. I suppose new manager coming in, like, you know, for us girls that were already there, you know, everyone wants to prove something to Tommy. And I really couldn't have called who the keeper was going to be for Saturday. And, you know, Amber did brilliant, but equally, I think, you know, Bonnie's a great keeper as well. So it's great that they have that competition there. And obviously, you know, to see her stepping up is brilliant.
Talk to us about your own schedule, Leah, because you've been up to the injury. You were involved playing, I think, centre forward. I could be casting in the wrong light there, but centre forward with Sligo Ladies, Gaelic as well. It must be very difficult to keep both afloat and to keep both where you're playing week in, week out when available.
Yeah, like a few people when the injury happened were saying, you know, like, this might be a blessing for you, like, burnout, you know, you seem to just be getting so tired. And obviously that's not what I was thinking when I got injured, but maybe when I come back I might be fresher from it. But it is definitely becoming more and more difficult, because obviously soccer is Saturday, then, you know, you've got a county league game on a Sunday, and it's like, it's not even just the 60 minutes of the game, it's the preparation beforehand, it's, you know, like, the whole mindset of it, and then like the preparation that goes in before and afterwards. So it's definitely hard to keep both sides going and both sides happy, I would say.
When you're sort of planning your week, how do you plan that around? Do you ever have times where you have to sort of pick and choose between training sessions, and what's them sort of conversations like with managers?
Yeah, so the way our trainings were clashing, let's say, on a Tuesday, so County and Rovers is on a Tuesday, and then Rovers is Thursday, County Friday. So in fairness, the County were good. Like, I was going to Rovers on the Tuesday with the agreement that I suppose I'm getting running in. So that side of it isn't going to be slacking, and then get the ball work in on the Friday. But yeah, it does involve, I suppose, both sides, you know, allowing it and agreeing to it. And I suppose they were. I'm not sure now how long Rovers will be, how they'll be if I decide after this injury that I'd be going back to Gaelic again, because understandably so, like, it means I'm out for them now. But
well, at least with all that training, you don't need to go to the gym at all during the week, so you must never be inside the gym.
No, never in the gym, no.
For the benefit of the visitors, you're a part-time PT on top of your full-time day job as a teacher, in a P teacher as well. So you must never be out of some sort of gym wear or kind of into kind of just activity all the time. The hand, yeah, must be a real problem for you at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose the first 2 weeks it happened. It was actually the warm-up of the Roscommon game 3 weeks ago. So 5 minutes before the game, I didn't even make it to the game. But it was that game. So for the first 2 weeks, I wasn't driving. So that was the biggest, I suppose, you don't know yourself when you're not driving. But now I'm kind of getting used to having one hand for things. And I still am able to do, let's say, the PTs in the morning in the gym and be a PE teacher with one hand. So I'm working it. But yeah,
I'm actually mesmerized.
Yeah, it's we were going through kind of before we got involved in terms of your day, and it starts like before most people are up and probably ends after most people are gone to bed. I don't know when you get time to sleep.
Yeah. I suppose I've always been like the girls, any of the Rovers girls will tell you, like, I'm such a morning person. Like, they'll always say, like, Lee will have the 10,000 steps done before they even get up to go to the match. Like, I have always been a morning person, so I don't mind the early start, but I do actually like to go to bed earlier, I suppose. But
like, how do you fit it? How do you fit it all into playing football and actually having the energy to go train? Because I know me or you, Bethany, we wouldn't be able to.
Let's not get into our fitness ability, Aaron. But but the question is, like, I suppose, how do you fit it all in? Like, you must have a really tight diary.
Yeah, no, I definitely do. A lot of stuff, I suppose, suffer as a result. Like, you know, you miss a lot of things socially. But the way I always look at it is, and I've said this, like, and I now feel it even more when I'm not involved in contact. You only get to play sport for a certain amount of time, and I find it such a privilege, because when you can't do it, that's when you really miss it and you realize I would much rather be here than out, or, you know, things like that. So for now, I like the craziness and the business. There's times when I suppose my parents are seeing me being moody from it all, but I like it right now. It's a good way to be. It's a good complaint to have that I'm always rushing here, there and everywhere.
In terms of mindset, is that something that, you know, because when you talk about their schedules, things and stuff like that, the elite, that's someone talking of an elite mindset. How do you try to bring that across, say, to your Sligo Rovers teammates or to your Gaelic football teammates? Because mindset and a lot of these sort of things is half the battle.
Yeah, I suppose I'm doing a master's at the minute in performance coaching. So that's from the GPA, or that's a scholarship from the GPA. So that has actually a lot of those elements in it. And I suppose reading up on researching the whole mindset of an athlete, I find really interesting. I think it actually makes me evaluate myself. I'm definitely not one like at training who would be getting into the whole technical side with the other girls about how like they should evaluate. I'm probably the one, you know, like I'm kind of the one would be having a joke at training, so I'm not that side of it. But it definitely is, I think, when you realize why you're doing sport, you know, and how you yourself can get better, I think that's the main thing.
A lot of new arrivals in the showgrounds this year, obviously in the dugout, a completely new team effectively in the dugout for you with Tommy Hewitt and his new backroom team. A couple of new players coming in, new to you, I suppose, in terms of their faces, but not new to the club, the likes of Myron Devaney coming back. And what's it been like with that kind of little bit of fresh air coming through the showgrounds?
Yeah, it's totally different, actually. It's really positive, and that's no discredit obviously to what Steve had and what he built. But I think it's very new for us all, and having the likes of Myron coming in is brilliant. Like those players like Kelly, who obviously missed out at the weekend because of injury as well, which was a big loss. And then like Zoe, there's some really, really good players that we've brought in. And then you're looking at the likes of Jodie and Curry, those who we kind of forget that, like, you know, Jodie's still only 17 herself, but we're looking at those now another year in the league, how much they've come on. So it's looking really positive.
A lot of people would have looked, and I know we say preseason isn't the be-all end all, would have looked at the likes of the Piemont game and sort of said Sligo are going to struggle massively this season. When you look back at that and you look to say the Shells game last Saturday with a new group, new management team and a lot of new players, how far do you think you've come since that preseason game?
Yeah, it was kind of, it nearly almost felt like a deja vu with the Piemont game. Like, it just seemed like every time we go up there, it's just like the gates opened. But I suppose the thing with Tommy came in and is playing a whole new system with us. And that was our first real game of actually trying, you know, his style of playing. I think you could see we really struggled with it. But I suppose there was more games after that where we were getting time, and I think you could see in the Shelburne game that, you know, it is starting to click, and his system, you know, everyone's starting to, I suppose, buy in and get on board with it, and is starting to work. And obviously there'll be games where, you know, we may not do as well, but I think as a whole, our aim is to be a team that is so hard to break down.
Obviously, we mentioned at the top of the show that you were the first player in Sligo Rovers, for the women at least, to make 50 appearances for the club since they came on in 2022. This injury probably gives a couple of players, the likes of Lauren, Emma, the opportunity to pass you out on that appearances list. How much do you pass any attention to that? Does it matter?
It was a nice milestone to hit. I suppose it was nice in terms of history, and you know, like, obviously I'm from Sligo myself. I would have always gone to Sligo Rovers games with my dad that when I was younger. So for that, like the history side, it was lovely. As in terms of girls passing me out with like the likes of Emma now passing me out with appearances, I don't mind that. I'd much rather just myself to be back from injury, not to add to my appearances, just to be back. But yeah, it was a nice sentiment.
As someone you've sort of sat there as a Sligo native and going to watch Sligo Rovers, I think when the opportunity come to get a senior team, I know from speaking to Emma Hansbury, she sort of said the idea of playing for your home club, for you being ingrained in everything sport wise in Sligo, what's that feeling like, you know, representing Sligo GAA and representing Sligo Rovers?
Yeah, it's only when you hear, like, I suppose younger, you let's say people from your club, or you know, the students, you know, that are so interested, like the students in school wanting to hear about how your games are going, or you know, like knowing your schedule and being so interested. It's kind of that when you realize that, you know, people are passing heed and it is, you know, something that's major to Sligo as a whole. So it's definitely not something I think lightly of, you know, and I'm obviously delighted to represent Sligo, it being, you know, where I'm from.
Of course, you mentioned students in school. One of them potentially was on the bench on Saturday. The likes of Lauren Devaney, cousin of Mearns, yes. I believe she's a cousin of Mearns. She part of that squad. She's impressed underage as well with Rovers. And it's how weird is it? Maybe someone who was in a classroom with you last year or in a gym with you last year in terms of your day job as a teacher to now be kind of knocking around at training. Is that a weird dynamic?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, I would, like when I was in Manor Hamilton last year, Lauren would have been in TY. I suppose Lauren's another girl that, like, you'd forget her age because she is so mature herself. So it's not like you'd ever feel like you have to be, like, there's never would have been a time where I had to discipline Lauren at school. So, yeah, I used to actually be back in the day, Jackie Mulligan was my teacher and I'd be going to county train with her. So I'm not sure how I feel now about that. I'm actually the older one in the situation, but.
there's a good few years left. You could have a couple of more in the next couple of years, especially as we see more and more of the younger players sort of. What's that like though, when you see players or kids in school and they're sort of, they're asking, because I'm sure the one thing you always get asked in PE is, can we do football? Can we do Gaelic football? What's that like? Do you sort of keep a glimpse of that player's very good, you know, from a teacher viewpoint and someone who's sort of playing at a high level?
Yeah, I suppose the funny thing is, and like my students will tell you, like playing soccer is like one of the things that I like least about PE, because I feel like it straight away knocks so many of them out, like they don't want to participate because there are ones who are doing outside school who are so much better. You know, then like it kind of creates that big gap. So it's definitely not my favorite thing to do with them. But you are kind of eyeing ones up, and you know, ones then asking about like, oh, how do I get into the academy? And you know, it's lovely to see like they do want to try. And obviously, Drumoreville is my local club, so you know, they're, you know, some of them now are trying to sign up for that. And these are like, you know, older boys, so it's great to see them getting back into sport, I suppose.
So you live out in West Sligo, for want of a better description of it. What's the mix like? Because as much as Sligo is a soccer area, it's very much kind of dominated by the town. In terms of your own experience growing up, what was the split between Gaelic and soccer? And I suppose, which would have been your first love, really?
Yeah, so for me, I would have, like, my family are like diehard Liverpool fans, so it would have been always soccer. And then I left because I went into Strand Celtic. So Strand Celtic would have been the big team back then. So because there was no real girls team out here. And then eventually the St. Fernan's, like my local club, got on to my mum about sending me. And I arrived down like with Gerard, 8 jersey on, Liverpool head, you know, I was just covered in Liverpool and wouldn't pick up the ball. So I eventually then decided that I actually did like Gaelic. So
it helps. Apologies.
That's intriguing. And because you see a lot of it, it's sort of like the family are still diehard fans, and then you're like, you know, you go to a Gaelic club and then all of a sudden you turn out to be one of the top stars in the county. Like that must be a surreal thing, especially when you look back at the Liverpool days.
Yeah, like when I look back and see me like kitted out in the tracksuit, and I'm just thinking, if someone arrived now to Gaelic, I'd be thinking, oh, what is this one doing? Like, you know, it's Gaelic training. But yeah, like I suppose it's when we were saying about like managing both, there'll be weeks where I think, oh, I prefer Gaelic. People often ask me like, which do you prefer? And so it all depends on how your training is going. So there'll be weeks where I say, oh, I'm preferring soccer. And then the next week you might be saying, right, well, Gaelic training went really well, so I prefer that. So it's nice probably to have both to balance it, that you can, when you get sick of one, you can go to the other.
It's whoever's winning this week, I suppose. So basically, yeah. You're not playing Leitrim in the football, you're happy, you know. In terms of I suppose what's next for you, obviously the hand is a problem at the moment. Any prognosis on how long you might be out of the team for?
It's a frustrating one because we're still waiting on an MRI, and then I suppose those results then will be sent to a consultant, so we'll have to see from there. There's quite a lot of ligament damage, so I'm not sure. It's definitely Gaelic for a while anyways.
All those words sound kind of long, unfortunately.
Yeah, not great, but yeah, not much you can do now. Let's just wait and see.
What's the mood like in the camp? Obviously, they must be happy you're just coming home from training tonight, I suppose, if you're Tuesday night with Sligo. They must be very happy with, I suppose, upsetting the likes of us who had predicted that they might struggle this year to get off to such a good start. It's only one game, but it's still a nice kind of momentum builder.
Yeah, I suppose we definitely won't get too carried away from ourselves. Like, you know, Tommy definitely wasn't filling us with big egos tonight or anything. It is just one game, but it's definitely something nice to build on. And, you know, even confidence-wise, that it's nearly a pity that we have the break this weekend. You know, breaks it up a bit, but just build from there and hopefully keep surprising you, I guess.
Brethny, don't forget. I said give it 4 or 5 games. I said give it the first 4 or 5 games of Tommy to get his... No. Because it's interesting. I actually spoke to Tommy about the same thing about, you know, the momentum and stuff like that. And he refused to talk anything about, it's just about the next game. It's just about the next game. You talked earlier about not playing this weekend. The All-Ireland Cup is coming up. There's an international break. With an odd number of teams, what's that like as a player with an odd number of teams in a league? Is that frustrating because you know if you've got an idle week, you've also got international breaks, you could go weeks where you might play one game a month?
Yeah, I suppose last year kind of seemed so intense at times, and then there was the long break, and then it came back again. Whereas this year kind of seems a bit more, you know, your breaks, like it's on a week, then off. Yeah, it's hard to know. It can be hard, I suppose, for us. It seems we kind of got unfortunate when our bye is, that it's just the second week. It's not really when you need it, you know. Whereas I think if you played a few games, the break could be nice, especially if there's girls carrying like little niggles or injuries or that. But it's a fairly hectic schedule.
Yeah, you can't pick and choose, unfortunately. Well, listen, Leah, thanks very much for dropping in. We really appreciate you taking the time after training and for joining in. And I'm sure we'll see plenty of you on the pitches over the course of the next few months. And the best luck to you and your teammates for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much. See you.
Thanks, Leah. I just hope Sligo be Leitrim this year. That's all I'll say.
we'll have to see. There's a couple of we won't. She's gone. She can't defend herself, so I won't say anything. But listen, thank you to Leah. I bumped into her randomly, actually twice in the last 7 days, just floating around Sligo, and as just a very pleasant girl. So thanks very much for dropping in and chatting to us. And unfortunately, she's out injured at the moment, but I'd imagine it won't be too long. She's fairly competitive. We'll see her back in the colours of the Bitter Red and Sligo GA in the not-too-distant future. Aaron, that was one game at the weekend. Of course, four more
playing. Just before we do move on to it, and I think it's only fair that we do say this as well on the other side, it's like, on another day, Shell's could have been 3 or 4 nil up early. They had some massive chances. Noelle Murray early on, where she put a wide from, she got free from a corner. But like, the one thing I will say is that while everybody's talking about Sligo Rovers results, the best thing about this sort of result is because now we need to see teams what Shells can bounce back to this week, because they go back into another massive game. When we'll talk about other teams later, because of the fact the way the schedule is, there's some really big games happen really early in the season. Whereas this sort of game, I think, will sort of bring Shells into a bit of a, could already be a make or break this weekend. And I really like the fact that Sligo got the result there, because I felt so bad for them last season when they lost 1-0, when they probably should have got something out of the game. And just to see the resilience they had, I was really impressed with the defensiveness and the tenacity, especially just to sort of withstand all that Shells threw at them.
Yeah, of course, they play Shells this weekend. We'll chat about that towards the end of the show. Let's maybe talk about Piedmont first. They went down to Cork and Turners Cross, the venue there. They won 2-0. They'll be happy enough, I think, with that result, to get their season up and running, and they'll be happy enough. Aaron McLaughlin and Karen Duggan with the 2 goals. Your thoughts on that game?
Professional enough job from Piedmont, especially if you look at what's gone on the week before in the President's Cup. They'll have just wanted 3 points. Cork can sort of be a bit of a bogey one for them, whereas Cork put it up to them for periods of the game, and then they sort of dropped back. I think from a Piedmont viewpoint, the fact that they got the goal in 27 minutes from Aaron, it took a little bit of the pressure off. And then when they added the second, they were comfortable enough in the second half. From a Cork viewpoint, keeping the score at 2-0, you've got to be, yes, you're disappointed to lose the game, but you've got to be happy enough with that sort of opening to the season just to sort of contain the champions.
Yeah, because I suppose that's the one thing that stands out for me is the biggest margin of victory was 2 goals. Nobody appears to be way off the pace. Like, we've seen that in recent seasons, and we've seen it over the entire 12, 13 years of the National League. It's been a challenge for some teams just to compete. We seem to have that much tighter this year, which is a huge bonus for everybody in the entire league, really, isn't it?
The thing is, we're not going to get carried away and say that we don't have gaps between the top and the bottom. The gap is still quite big. But you're right in what you're saying, in the sense that teams are closing that gap, and they're closing it year on year now. Like, we had a fear a couple of years ago that the gap was going to go the opposite way, and we were going to see big scores coming back regularly. And that does nobody any favours. And to see the margin of victory of being 2-0, the biggest margin of victory over the opening weekend, like, you've got to be really pleased. Like, from a Cork viewpoint, they announced some late signings late into the week, and it was sort of a case of they're still betting in some of these players that they've brought in. They'll show improvements, but I would expect the likes of Cork, DLR, Sligo, them sort of teams to be all in and around each other. And there's no doubt that these sort of teams can take points off teams this year, but the only way they can do it is if they have their best performances, really.
Another 2-0 win for Galway in Athlone. These two know each other so well. So many players, we've talked about it before, jumping between the two sides over the last few seasons. Galway will be happy. Phil Trill will be happy to have his side up and running. 2-0 victory for them there in Athlone. Because obviously Athlone were impressive the week before in the President's Cup. That'll bring them a little bit back down to earth. A bit of a challenge there for Athlone maybe to get themselves going next week.
We sort of said this would probably going to be the game of the rounds. And these teams, they either, as we said last week, they either have crackers or they've null and boring games. And like, from a Galway viewpoint, I think Galway have a bit of a point to prove this year. Yes, I said last week they probably still are a season away from being title challengers, but the players that they've got there's no doubt bringing the likes of Julian Russell back is going to add an awful lot to them. Like, you've seen how fit she is and how keen she is to get back in. And like, to go to Athlone and get a result, like, Athlone knocked them out on penalties in Athlone in the Cup last year. And I'd say that one probably hurt Galway a little bit. And it's the first real chance they've had an opportunity to go and get them. But from a Phil Trill point of view, he'll turn around and tell you it's just 3 points. All eyes are on Cork at the weekend. And I think when we started talking to Leah a little bit there about the stop-start, any momentum you can get in this league is key. And if Galway can go and back that up with another result and then another result, it's sort of, to them, it's a bit of a stepping stone from an Athlone viewpoint. Yes, they'll be disappointed to lose in the opening day of the season. They also lost in the opening day of the season last year as well, at home as well, the Piedmont. So It's back-to-back opening day defeats. Like, I would expect them to bounce back, but they have a difficult game this weekend. From a Kieran Kilduff viewpoint, he'll just want to get the troops back in and get them back into training and sort of just reassess and see where it went wrong. When they go behind from the penalty, and then if Dawson adds a second, you're sort of saying, okay, you know, it's not a great night, but like the fact that it's so early in the season, it was always going to be one of them games that would have went either way.
Speaking of Athlone's game this weekend, of course, they face Bohemians, which brings the two managers, manager and assistant, straight into collision course with each other on Saturday afternoon. How big a game is that for both sides, for Kieran Kilduff and Ken Kiernan on the Bohemian side?
Massive. Reflecting on last weekend, a big, big, big result for Bohs. I didn't think they'd get anything out of the game against Wexford. Fiona Donnelly's goal was an absolute superb strike for them to come away with a 2-0 victory. Yes, they've won in Wexford before, but they've sort of huffed and puffed a few times in Wexford and struggled over the line. And like, I watched them in pre-season and I sort of thought, okay, they've got the makings of a decent team. It'll be interesting to see what way they sort of step on. The two sides met in pre-season, they drew nil all. From a Vols viewpoint, I think it's a smashing result. Wexford will be extremely disappointed. Like, Wexford's next three games are Piemont, Shamrock Rovers, and Shelburne. They could easily go four games without a victory. It's that difficult. And I think for them, it was imperative that they got off to a good start. I think there's more pressure at Wexford than there is at Bowes at the minute, because you look at the changes that's happened in Bowes. New management, a lot of players have gone out, a lot of players have come in. It was always going to take time. But for Bowes to get a 2-0 victory, I think realistically it's a big win, and it's definitely a confidence booster. I don't know if you've seen I messaged you earlier about it just there before the show started.
The Dublin bus ad, yeah.
The Dublin bus ad.
Quality.
I think
I watched brilliant. It three or four times. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Like, and we had Bowes on, obviously Bowes on last week, and we were talking about the Palestine match and stuff like that. But to see the Dublin bus ad, it just shows the commitment from Dublin bus. And that's the bus I was sort of saying to you last week. It's covered with the senior players, the amputee players, and some of the women's academy players are all on the side of the bus. Like, it's great, and it's a real get a buzz about the game against Athlone. I don't mean to not necessarily downplay the game, but to put a little bit of a dampener on it. It's just an awful shame the game is sort of close enough to Shell versus Piemont on Saturday, because I would love to be in Talca. I would love to be in Dalymount on Saturday, but with the clash of Shells and Piemont, it makes it a little bit impossible to do so. But like, I think that'll be a cracking game. I think it'll be end to end. You look what happened last year when the sides played. Athlone scored a late goal, and then Bowes went and scored deep in injury time live on TG Carr the same night that Katie Taylor fought in the Tree Arena. Like, a massive night for Irish sport, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's another enthralling game. You mentioned Kilduff versus Kiernan. I'm intrigued. Like, obviously, Ken sort of had to take the Bowes job when it's offered to him, considering it's such a massive opportunity. But like, he wouldn't have minded if Bowes hadn't come. He'd have happily stayed in Athlone, and it's not like it's a bad separation. The two guys got on very well. They won the cup together. It's intriguing, the manager dynamic this week, especially considering Kilduff will be out to get that result, having lost the opening day.
Yeah, absolutely. Some interesting times ahead. Of course, we can't mention Wexford in terms of the result last weekend against Bohemians without mentioning, of course, the retirement of Adele Kennedy, an absolutely legend of the game in this country and in this league. She's one of the original members of that Wexford side in the first season back in 2011, 2012. And I think she's played a huge service to both the club and the league. And I think we can't not mention her as we kind of wrap up Wexford.
Yeah, now you're gonna get me going a little bit in terms of it. I love Adele Kennedy. I have so much time for Adele Kennedy. I remember chatting to John Flood about when he brought her to the club and getting her to the club, and you know, to see where she's come from. I think she was playing junior football in Wexford when the club come about, and like, to get 250 appearances for Wexford youth. The problem is, it's not the problem. The thing is, she probably would have been close to 300 had she not had the ACL injury. You know, she probably would have been close to 300. She's won everything. The way she went about sort of saying I'm done, you know, it's just a mark of Adele sort of saying, you know, normally I'm preparing for the opening day of the season, and this season I'm not, and it's just sort of bowing out. And do you know what's nice? It's nice to see players, coaches, officials, people within the league, you know, all commenting all over social media posts to say, to, you know, to wish her the best, because it's amazing when you see the longevity that some players have had in the league and what they've done in the league. I think it's unbelievable, and she deserves an awful lot of kudos for what she's done. She herself, Kylie Murphy, Nicola Sinner, for long years they've been the heartbeat of that Wexford dressing room, that Wexford team, and it's sad to see her go. But the one thing I will say is, and I'm sure you'll echo yourself, is, you know, no matter what she does, we wish her the best, and she'll be successful at what she does, and as our football journey comes to an end. But I'm sure we'll see her around many Wexford games.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I can't see her being too far from a Wexford jersey over the next few years, maybe as a coach, or we'll see her back in some way, shape, or form involved in the league. In terms of the other fixtures, of course, or the other results over the last weekend, the one we haven't talked about is DLR versus Shamrock Rovers. Didn't quite work out for DLR. I think they had the league wrapped up at halftime, according to their Twitter account. First of all, your thoughts on the game, and then maybe we might chat about some of their utterances on social media, which I don't know if they're wise, but they're definitely worth talking about.
I don't think Summer Lawless will want to see the opening goal back. The one thing I will say, and I know people are probably going to hammer Summer for the goal. Yes, Michelle Dillon has the long range effort, but Summer was sort of released by Shamrock Rovers and then brought back in late when Amanda Budden got the injury. She's a young goalkeeper. She hasn't played an awful lot of senior football. Played a lot of underage football in Ireland, underage, but playing senior football, mistakes tend to happen. I think from a Rovers viewpoint, they'll just be happy that they're able to get the equaliser from the on-your penalty and sort of get it back to level. And like, when you look at the result as a whole, it's always difficult going to the likes of DLR at this time of year. If you look at the pitch, it's not in great nick. There's a lot being played on at the minute, rugby, soccer. Like, there's quite a lot. And like, when we'll chat about the All-Ireland Cup now in a few minutes, later on the show, you'll sort of discuss a little bit more about the bowl and things like that. But for me, DLR would be disappointed to concede the penalty and not take the 3 points. But that's sort of being the way DLR have been in the last couple of years, is that they got into positions and sometimes don't take them. You can look at 2 years ago when Shelburne won the league, and Piemont will look back at the results against DLR when they had to score late goals to get a draw out of them, and DLR sort of dropped the point. Rovers, for them, they'll be disappointed. There's no doubt about it. I was listening to an interview, it was actually after the game, but it was done before the game, with Colly O'Neill, and he was sort of talking through players and players missing. And it looks as though Amanda Budden is going to be a bit away. Savannah McCarthy's quite a while away after having to have surgery. I think the one concern for me about Shamrock Rovers is the fact, and this could be, there could be a genuine reason, it could be some of the players that they've signed for are with their underage teams and they could have been playing on Saturday, but they couldn't fill their bench on the opening day of the season. That to me is a bit of a concern, that you can't fill the bench. It's definitely going to say, for DLR, you're probably going to say it's a points drop for Rovers. It's probably a point gain in the end. They huffed and puffed and they come away with the one.
Let's talk about social media stuff. Obviously, there's certain clubs that do social media in this league very, very well. It's kept funny in places, entertaining in places. What's your thoughts on, and for those who haven't seen it, go check out the DLR tweets. They were still there at the time we started this anyway. Calling out people, kind of asking the league to print the league table because they would have been top of it in a live table. It's a bit of fun, but is it something that the club should be doing?
Some of it I'm okay. I don't mind the printing the live table, but that's okay because or we're top of the league. I don't mind that. But the thing that I probably didn't like is when they start tagging Katie McCabe in tweets, or when they tag Shamrock Rovers asking, can they use talent? I understand someone's having a bit of fun. But the problem is, a couple of years ago, it would have been fine. But we're sort of moving to an age now where everything is talked about, the league gone professional and stuff like that. like, it's okay having maybe one of these sort of tweets, but it was about six or seven. I'm curious.
Grumpy old men, though, Aaron. Are we just grumpy old men and we have kind of?
No, some of it, I actually quote retweeted the one where they said we're top of the league when they went 1-0 up. I actually thought that was hilarious. You know, I thought that was brilliant. I actually like the fact that the one where they're saying half them, can you know print the live table. I like that one because you just need to be that little bit careful. I'm curious, and I don't want to drop anybody in it, but I'm curious if any club has made a complaint over this. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Shamrock Rovers have potentially made a complaint to the FAI over it because of the fact of the tagging Shamrock Rovers to ask, can we use Tala for the Champions League? I don't know if that one would really stick very well, but like the thing for DLR is, the one thing I'll say to you is, some of these tweets could potentially come back up as the season goes on, and I wouldn't be surprised if the result doesn't go their way the next time they play Shamrock Rovers, one or two of these tweets end up sort of back
things we've said on this show have come back to both of us at various points when teams kind of go against, like, listen, we're well used to humble pie on this show. Happy to eat it when it's deserved, and it's deserved fairly often, because let's be honest, we're wildly wrong at times, particularly with some of the results like that Sligo game. I think you wrote them off completely last week, and
100%,
and I probably did. I can't remember, but I probably did too, and then they've come out with a performance like that and a result like that, so fair play, and we love it. That's what we do the show for, is to kind of,
yeah, do you know what, I'm gonna say this about the DLR tweets, and I'll leave it at this. I'm extremely disappointed the actual engagement on them. I was expecting one or two of them to sort of blow up a bit. I was hoping one or two of them would blow up a bit because some of the funny ones would sort of blow, where it just didn't seem to sort of catch fire the way I thought it might. And if it caught fire, there's no doubt that could have got the club an extra 400 or 500 followers and a hell of a lot of mentions all over socials. But I don't think they really, really caught fire that much.
Yeah. Let's turn our attention to the weekend's action. But before we do that, actually, before we leave the games from last weekend, we do have some post-match reactions from Turner's Cross. So maybe let's have a little run down to Turner's Cross, where Dermot Kearney was in attendance. And here's some of the post-match reaction from him. We might start with the away side. And James spoke to Dermot after the game. Here's what he had to say to him.
Always good to start a season with a win. You've come down to Cork 2-0, 3 points. Can't ask for much more.
Yeah, we're delighted to get the 3 points. It was always going to be a tough match away to Cork. And it was a really tough game. So we had to work hard and just keep at it. And luckily we got the 2 goals, so we were really happy with that.
Cork really did put up to you. I know maybe over the years they haven't been as competitive as they would have liked, but they really showed it today.
Yeah, listen, I think Danny's doing a great job there. They have a really good squad. They have really quality players on the bench as well. You know, I think they're definitely going to start taking points. That's why I'm really happy here to get the 3 points.
Look, you can't ask for more. Obviously, I suppose coming off that President's Cup game, you did want to bounce back with a win and two fantastic goals by Aaron and Karen to give you those points.
Yeah, listen, the President's Cup was probably the best thing that happened to us. A bit of a reality check in terms of losing that loan. Again, that loan are very good. All the teams, even some of the results today, you know, people probably aren't expecting them. But all the teams have improved. They're all getting better. But it's delighted to see the girls get the goals today. Erin, because it's her birthday today. She's 21 today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So happy birthday present for her as well.
Yeah.
Look, it's a long season. There's going to be many an up and down battle. But looking at the other results today, the likes of Shells and Shamrock Rovers both getting draws. You getting the 3 points. It's good for the early momentum.
Yeah, listen, this is, I've heard it being said, it's going to be probably the most competitive league this year. I really think it is, because this is all the teams have strengthened. Just for PML, we just got to try and do our own business, try and put in good performances, and hopefully we get the wins. You know, so delighted today. We have a big match now next week. We're at home to Shelbourne, so that's going to be really tough.
Great performance by you, but just unlucky on the day.
Yeah, obviously we're disappointed first game of the season, but credit to Pimount, like, they're quality side and you can see what they can do to us when they kind of get around us and things like that. But we had some positives, but obviously two bad goals to concede.
When you talk about, I suppose, the positives, you did look very, very competitive in the game. As you say, you know, take those two moments, the corner that Karen puts in and the ball that goes into to Aaron for the opening goal, take those out of it. You had chances as well, but very positive signs to take from a defeat.
Yeah, look, if you look at the two goals we conceded, they were bad on our part. And if we cut those out of our game, it's a 0-0 game. We get a point from it. But if you look at it from last season, we've improved a lot. I think we were saying we would have folded their second half, really, when they were kind of getting around us. And like last season, it was 4-5-0 against those kind of teams. But there are positive, obviously. We just need to pick it up on kind of the bad goals that we concede.
There's a good dynamic in the squad. Obviously, you've got some new faces coming in as well to help bolster the ranks. But, you know, it all does point in the positive direction.
Yeah, it does. I think I've been involved in the senior squad since I'm 16, so it's my fourth season. And I think this is the best pre-season I've had with the club, players that we've brought in and stuff. The dynamic, like Colleen, I think, is doing really well on the wing, and Orla links up really well with all the players. So yeah, it's definitely positives that we need to bring into the next game now.
That was Ava Mangan there and James O'Callaghan before her. James kind of summed up what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, really, in terms of how tight the league is becoming and seeing the kind of the teams that were, I suppose, at the bottom of the table in recent seasons, getting closer and closer to those top sides.
Yeah, absolutely. Ava Mangan's one of my favourite players to watch in this league at the minute. She's bang on what she said there about Cork, with the fact that the players they brought in, they've definitely added a lot. And I think that's probably what we need this year. And like if the first real scalp, when we see them sort of scalps, that'll then give more teams confidence. Because I will say this. I think we will have one or two 6-0 defeats this season. They're inevitable. We've seen Shells being beaten 5-1 by Pima before. We've seen the big teams getting beaten on the wrong. We will still have some of them, but I don't think they'll be as frequent. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another drop in the goal difference this year, in the sense of goals against coming out as the overall compared to last year. Because last year took an absolute massive drop compared to previous years of goals per game, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it again this year. And like, the interesting thing out with James is what he said, it's the President's Cup is a reality check.
Yeah,
that's the interesting thing, is that it shows the hunger is still there in Piemont. And like we've said, they're no longer the underdogs. They're now the ones who are being hunted. They're now the ones who are being hunted. So it'll be really interesting to see this weekend what they do against Shelburne.
Absolutely. In terms of this weekend's fixtures, of course, let's start maybe with Treaty United, because this is their first game of the season. They're the only unknown quantity in competitive action so far this season. They look good in pre-season. They had some decent results, and I'm a little bit excited about what they might bring to the table. I don't think they're going to be challenging for the title, but I think they're going to be there or thereabouts.
The best thing about Treaty is the actual expectation that we're hearing from within. That they're not expecting, like Dominic said last week, they're not expecting to be winning league all of a sudden. Their expectation is they were better than they were last year. And that, for me, I don't know whether it's setting the expectation too low, or it's just they want to just see where they are because of the amount of changes they've had. You're 100% spot on what you're saying in terms of Treaty could be anything. Treaty could be the best team in the league. Treaty could be the worst team in the league. Treaty could be a top three team. We don't really know because of the players they brought in. There's limited, how would you say, footage of a lot of these players. You can only go by stats that you read. And I think the one thing I will say, and this is what's interesting for me, is that Kieran McCormick is really putting her neck on the line when she brings a lot of these players over from Canada to give them an opportunity. So I think for her, she's not just going to bring anybody over who's just going to come here just to say, I've been to Ireland for a couple of months, I play a bit of social football. She's coming to bring players in because she wants to bring Treaty up. The buzz around the club, what's going on? Like, Saturday will tell us a bit. But like I said last week about Sligo, is I wouldn't really judge Treaty on the first maybe 4 to 5 games. because I think they're going to take a bit of a bedding in period, and then we'll start to judge them as to where they actually are. Could they go out and win two, three, four games? Potentially. Could they lose them all? Potentially. The unknown is probably what's exciting us the most.
Yeah, absolutely. The other fixtures, of course, we've touched on a few of them. Bowes host Athlone, and the two, well, manager, so the, what's the word, apprentice and the master meet the FAI Cup winners last year. Of course, that backroom team has split. We now have Ken Kieran in the dugout in Dalymount, and we've got Kieran Kilduff in Athlone, and they face each other in that game next week. Both sides will be looking to from Bohemians to build on their opening day win, and Athlone to kind of kickstart their season again. The other games, of course, Shamrock Rovers and Wexford. We would have seen this as a top of the table clash. Wexford, disappointing start to the season. Shamrock Rovers also didn't capture a win on their opening day. So both sides really need a result. It's a big game for both teams here.
Massive game for both teams. When they played last year, it was a late winner from Shamrock Rovers when they played in Tallaght for a 2-1 victory, and sort of early in the season as well, the first round of midweek games. It's funny you say this, and I'm just actually thinking about this. I must check the fixtures from last year, because when Pimount played Shelbourne in PRL Park on the Wednesday night, the exact same fixture happened last year in Tallaght and in Shamrock Rovers and Wexford. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, like last year, where both teams are at. I think all four teams are at. I think from a Wexford viewpoint, with the run they've got, they must get something out of this game. If they come away from this game without anything, I think it could be a difficult couple of weeks with the fact that they play Champions, Pimount and Shelbourne in the next two games as well. So I think Rovers at home, you probably have to fancy Rovers at home.
I hope you're not insinuating that the FAI might have copy and pasted the rounds.
No, I actually like the fact that these sort of fixtures come up together, because apart from the fact that, you know, it leaves clashes, but I actually sort of like it, because I love when big teams play each other early in the season as well, because it just means that, you know, you're sort of getting a proper understanding. And like, yeah, I know we're going to talk about Pimount and Shelbourne in a second, but like, is it too early to say Pimount versus Shelbourne is a must not lose for Shelbourne?
Oh, I think it is. I think it's, they've already dropped 2 points to a team that they would have been anticipated to collect all three from. They won't want to go into the next round of games without at least 4 points in the bag.
Like, that's the sort of thing at the minute, and that's where the 20 game season is difficult, because if we had the three rounds of games, they'd have played 30 games. You have a little bit more breathing space. 20 games, you don't. And I said it last week, and I really am going to stick to it. And I think I'm even more convinced now. I really do think this will probably be one of the lowest points per game season winning seasons by any team this year. And like, it's hard to call. But I think from a Pimount viewpoint, they've built a little bit of confidence coming into that Shells game off the back of the Cork win. But a lot of what Shells done, if the final third clicks, they beat Sligo. And it's, yes. But the thing is, it's all if buts and maybes.
Well, I think now that you've actually said that, I think one of these three teams at the top of the table are guaranteed to go 100% record for the entire season. So Bowes, Galway, and Pimount will be delighted with themselves. Let's talk before we leave up the regular league fixtures about that final game, which is Galway Cork. Cork, some green shoots from Cork this year. We've talked about the kind of how great they are to watch sometimes. The likes of Eva Mangan, she can spray that ball around better than anybody in the league, really, or as good as anybody in the league. They're lovely to watch in small doses, but they seem to be getting a bit more consistent this year than they might have been in recent years.
The biggest frustration for me the last year and a bit for Cork was they put in great first 45 minutes, Shamrock Rovers, Pimount in both them games in Turner's Cross, and then boom, all of a sudden, second half, they die off, concede several goals. A lot of young players, like, you look at that side, like Kira Senna last year coming in, Ireland under 17, Ellie O'Brien, Ireland under 17, Clodagh Fitzgerald in goal. I think she was Ireland under 16 last year. A lot of really, really, really young players. And the thing for it is, it's, yes, they've got a lot of learning to do, but they're having to learn on the job, which makes it a little bit more difficult at times. And I think from a Cork fan, while it's difficult, it's about patience and sort of hoping that they can take that on. They're in a very similar position to maybe the likes of a DLR where last year, in the sense that DLR were making quite a lot of mistakes in games, and yes, they had some good quality players, but they just couldn't get over the line. I think if they can make that step up, they can definitely push teams like a Galway, like a Wexford. You have to remember, it's only a couple of years ago Cork got to the cup final where they had to beat Wexford, in a really good Wexford team, in a semi-final. So I think I'm hopeful that we're going to continue to see improvements from Cork this season. But in terms of Saturday, I think Saturday's a step too far against Galway.
Okay, well, these are the fixtures for the weekend, as per the Final Whistle website. So, sorry, the fixtures, the league table as it stands. Those three, as we mentioned, Bowes, Galway, and Piemont top the table, and for Athlone, Cork, and Wexford, they'll be hoping to pick up points, their first points of the season in this week's games. We also did mention briefly there the Avenir Sports Cup. Those fixtures came out today. There's the first round of games there. DLR Waves host Crusaders. Piemont United will host Linfield. Shamrock Rovers make the journey to Treaty United, while Cork will face Wexford. An all-Connacht affair between Sligo Rovers and Galway United. Cliftonville and Shells will face off in Solitude, while Bohemians will host Lisburn. And the final round of the first match day is Glentoran and Athlone Town.
Interesting note just on that.
Yep.
They're a mixture of Saturday and Sunday. They're not all Saturday fixtures. I actually like that. I like the fact that there's some on a Sunday. Like I think in the second set, I don't know if it's the second set of fixtures, but I know Bowes are at home on a Sunday. I like the fact that some of the games are on a Sunday.
Bowes are at home in the first set of fixtures on a Sunday.
First, I like that.
That's Friday week. That's Sunday week. So these games, obviously, we've run league games this week, and then it will go to the first round of the All-Ireland Cup. It's not the Avenir Sports Cup this year, obviously the sponsor, obviously not quite the same as it was last year, but the All-Ireland Cup will take place. Some new blood in it, of course. We see Lisburn come into it for the first time. Of course, Sion Swifts have folded in the north, so they are...
I'm actually gutted that Sion have folded. I know they lost a lot of players to the Premier Division this season, but like they've been a staple in the last 7-8 years of Northern Irish football, and I think it's sad to see teams like that having to pull out of the league. And sort of like, you never want to, like, you always think back to when Castlebar pulled out of the old WNL, when Kilkenny United were come out of the league because things weren't right, and sort of you never want to see teams come out of leagues. You always want to see them building. So hopefully, you know, where their catchment area is, they can regather, and we may see them back in the Niffle in a couple of years.
Yeah, let's take a quick look at the Women's Under-19 League. And, of course, the results from last weekend as we go down through them. A win for Galway, Finn Harps, Athlone, Shamrock Rovers with a big win over Sligo, while Shells and Bowes, I suppose it's a North Dublin derby, 1-0 to Shells. Cork winning the Munster derby, while Treaty had a big win of their own in that Women's Under-19 grade, 7-0 against Cove Ramblers. Wexford winning the final game against CK United. The league tables look something like this. Shells on top of Group A. In Group B, it is Shamrock Rovers and Athlone who lead the way. And in Group C, Cork City and Wexford are top of the charts in that particular table. In the Women's Under-17, we see Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians towards the top of that. Finn Harps with a 100% record as well. They have to play, or they just played one game less due to there being 7 teams in that division. In Group B, Galway are top of the table, but again, Pease and Athlone with a 100% record in that competition so far, while Wexford and Cork are top of the charts in the Under-17 Group C. The results, of course, all there on our website on played on the 9th of March. You can read them there yourself. Shamrock Rovers with a win, Pats and DLR with a draw. Draw had a win and away at Longford. Piemont with a big win down in Milebush Park against Mayo, and Galway United beating Sligo Rovers 4-3 away in the showgrounds. Wexford beating Kerry FC 3-1, and Waterford again with a 4-0 win over Cove Ramblers. Bohemians beating Dundalk 2-0. Cork City with a 4-0 win over CK United. And the final round, or game of the round, was Athlone Town with a 2-1 win over Treaty United. And those fixtures, all that information for all of the underage leagues available on finalwhistle.ie. You can check them out there. There's the Under-17 fixtures for next week. And the Under-19 games as well are there for this weekend. So, of course, St. Patrick's weekend, but there are games in all divisions of the Women's National League over the course of the next 7 days.
Premier Division.
Apologies. Last week, we got another email from the FAI. We're going to be rebranding the show in the coming days, but at the moment, we just didn't get a chance to do it.
We'll both be doing big rebrands in the next little while. And do you know what? It's great just to have the league back. Paddy's weekend, lots of football on. What more can you want?
Yeah, no, it's great. And I suppose before we go, the one thing that happened just before we came on air last week, and I didn't want to include it because it was pretty raw news at the time, wasn't the unfortunate passing of Sonia Hoy, a Dundalk FC player from back in the day, one of the standout goal poachers of her generation, lightning quick, was obviously a part of that team that won the 2000 and I want to say 5 FAI Cup final against Piemont in the old Lansdowne Road. Lovely girl. I had the pleasure of working with her in squads with Leinster Colleges, and not only did she score the goals for Dundalk IT and for Dundalk, she was also so heavily involved off the field. She's a huge loss to the game. She's a huge loss to her community and her family and friends. And I suppose it's been a week now since she passed away, and I just want to pass on our condolences to all her friends and family and the football community in Dundalk for the loss of Sonia Hoy. It's been a rough week, I'd imagine, in most of those houses. Aaron, that leaves us really with there's nothing else I've forgotten to bring up this week, is there?
No, I think that's us.
Well, listen, that has been the week. Thank you so much to Leah Kelly for joining us for the first 25 minutes of the show. Obviously out injured at the moment, but a huge part of that Sligo Rovers team over the last 2 seasons, and she will be for many, many years to come, I'd imagine. But thank you to Aaron for joining us again this week and for going through everything with us. We'll be back to look at everything WPD, Women's Premier Division, over the course of the next week or so. Of course, the league this weekend and the Avenir, not going to say it, the All-Ireland Sports Cup starts the week after. So lots to keep you excited about over the next few weeks. We'll be back in 7 days or in next week with another show. Talk to you then.